Well, welcome everybody, all of our Atlanta area campuses, those of you who are watching online, and I wanted to add my Happy Mother's Day to those of you who have already been wished a Happy Mother's Day. And today I was thinking, this is my, not to be sad, but this is my third Mother's Day without my mom. And so it's just kind of odd, and I'm more grateful than ever. And this series that we're talking about, Pack Your Bags, is about, we've got someone here excited about being with their mom. that's great. Sounds of life. Anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. Oh yeah. So, I was thinking today just about my mom and how grateful I am. And it's this series, Pack Your Bags. Nobody probably helped me, and probably many of you would feel the same way. Nobody helped us get ready for the future, for most of us, not all of us, more than our moms. So for those of you who get to have lunch or dinner with your mom today, you're so blessed, you're so grateful. Hope you don't take that for granted. And for those of you who are physically distant from your mom because she's in a different part of the country, I hope you won't miss this opportunity today to reach out and say, hey. But for those of you who don't get along with your mom, and this is an awkward day, and your husband or your wife is saying, you really need to call her, and it's like, yeah, I know. You really need to call her, okay? No matter what the relationship's been like, no matter what's happened, no matter what's happened in the past, you never know what that phone call may do for her, and more importantly, what it might do for you. So don't miss this opportunity. It won't always be there. Let's close in prayer. Father, just kidding. Okay. Hey, I'm super excited about this series, Pack Your Bags. This is a series about how to prepare for what's next. It's a series about preparing for what's next, but it's not just about it. We want to help you prepare for what's next because all of us have a what's next, hopefully. And it may be in the next month. It may be in the next year. You may be preparing for a what's next that's 3 or 4 years away. You may be close to graduating from high school. You may have just graduated from high school. You may be moving into a new school. You may be going off to college. You may be about to get married. You may have just gotten engaged. You may be days away. You may be a couple of years away. Some of you ladies, I know that you plan your weddings way longer before you meet the guy. By the time you meet him, it is done. The list is ready, so you hopefully have that in your future. You may be on the verge of having your first baby, or you may be talking about having a baby or another baby, a new job, maybe a first job. You're about to graduate. You're about to get out of graduate school, got your first job coming, or your next job. You may be looking forward to or getting close to empty nest, or it may just seem like it's 100 years away and you're just thinking about it, and you meet your friends who their kids are all grown and gone, and you're like, what is that even like? And then when they talk about it, you don't want to hear it anymore. Some of you, next for you is retirement. And that may not be a next year thing. That may be a 10-year thing away. But the point is, for all of us, there's something that's next. And the temptation is to think that once we know what's next, and because we know what's next, we are therefore prepared for what's next, but nothing could be further from the truth. Actually, there's no correlation. There's no correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. Knowing what's next doesn't mean you're prepared. It just means you know. And as obvious as that might be, it's not as obvious as you might think. I mean, for example, this is why couples spend way more time preparing for their wedding than they do preparing for what? For marriage. That's right. They spend lots and lots of time and money preparing for marriage. In fact, one of the challenges that we have around here is couples, you know, want to get married and they want us, you know, to be involved in their wedding, which we love to do that. And then we start talking about premarital counseling. And they're like, we don't have time for that. We're preparing a wedding. It's like, yeah, we want to help you prepare your marriage. And a newsflash, I mean, as long as your wedding is, it's not near as long as your marriage. At least we hope so, right? We hope your marriage is much longer than your wedding. And I've been to some long weddings. And here's the thing. Come on, you can agree with this, right? You've never seen an ugly wedding. But we've all seen some not so pretty marriages. But the assumption is, if I know what's next, I must be prepared for what's next. But there's no necessary correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. So today, I want to teach you a prayer that Sandra and I have been praying, literally, we counted up, for over 25 years. About 25 years ago, I was reading my Bible one morning and I read a verse. Maybe I'd read it before. I don't remember. It was in the book of Proverbs and I stumbled upon this verse and I memorized this verse. In fact, last night I was talking to Allie, my daughter, and she said, "What are you preaching about tomorrow?" And I started quoting the verse and she finished it. She said, "You taught me that when I was a little girl." I said, "I taught that to all three of you because it was such a big deal." And then Sandra and I took this verse. I'm going to walk you through the verse in just a minute, and we turned it into a prayer. And I'm telling you, this prayer has done more for us. This prayer has done more for us to prepare us for this future seasons of life, both the ones we were looking forward to and the seasons that we were most concerned about. Now, the thing that drove us to this prayer, it's a little bit of a negative thing. The thing that drove us to do this, and the reason this became a regular part of our conversation and a regular part of our prayer life, honestly, was watching very smart people make very dumb decisions. And all of you know some very smart people who've made some really dumb decisions. In fact, some of you are the very smart people who've made some. And the strange thing is about life is this. Isn't this true? And you've seen this happen. Let's just talk about other people for a while because it's not as convicting. Isn't it interesting that a person can be like so smart in business and so smart or so smart in two or three or four different areas, and then when it comes to relationships, it's like they're just dumb. It's like how can you so like you're two different people. You know, our IQ relationally sometimes is lower than business or vice versa, or somebody's so intuitive when it comes to, you know, some skill or something that they've developed, and then some other area like finances, it's like they just don't know how to handle money. And you think, how can you be so smart here and so, I'll be polite, not so smart here? But it's true of all of us. And so watching some really smart people make some really not so smart decisions, it kind of worried us. And so we started thinking, hey, you know, we're not immune to that. We're no exception to that. And we would watch people make, you know, kind of dumb decisions, and we would anticipate how things were going to turn out, and we anticipated they would turn out bad, and then they would turn out bad, and we would think to ourselves and talk about it at home, about them, of course, you know, as we prayed for them, talk about them, saying, and we would think, did they not see this coming? I mean, we saw it coming. Why couldn't they see it coming? And then on occasion, because of the nature of my job, I've had the opportunity to talk to people who I watched make some really bad decisions. And I have asked them, didn't you see this coming? I mean, didn't you see it coming? Weren't there some red flags? Did nobody warn you? And in some cases, people would look at me like they've looked at you and say, no, honestly, I didn't see it coming. Other people would say, well, yeah, to be really honest, somebody did warn me. My mom talked to me. My dad talked to me. Some friends. But you know what? I just thought, yeah, but it'll work out. It'll work out. It'll work out. So, like you, I am a fan of learning from other people's mistakes, okay? So we saw this scenario play out over and over and over, and we decided, you know what? We're not immune to that. I'm not immune to that. I'm smart in some areas, but I'm not smart in every area. So what can we do to make sure that we can see what's coming and are willing to recognize what's coming when sometimes it's hard to see, and in some cases, we just don't want to know. So when I stumbled across this verse, we turned it into a prayer, and we've been praying this really for over 25 years. Now, the verse is found in Proverbs 27, verse 12, and in this verse, I'm going to walk you through it. In this verse, we are introduced to two different kinds of people, one similar set of circumstances, two different responses to the same set of circumstances with two very different outcomes. You don't need to memorize this. Two different kinds of people. I'll explain both. One similar set of circumstances, two different responses, and two different outcomes. And here's what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, who was considered the wisest man who ever lived by many, and yet as wise as he was, he didn't take his own advice. In fact, the best way to explain Solomon's failure at the end of his life is to go back and read what he wrote that he didn't apply to his own life. Because he was extraordinarily wise, but at the same time, it's not knowing that makes the difference. Doing makes the difference. In fact, doing is what makes all the difference. It's like paint. If you don't apply it, it just doesn't do any good. Okay, so here's what he wrote, and here's the verse that made such a big difference in our life. And I'm going to just walk you through it a few words at a time. And it begins this way. The prudent. This is a word we don't use much. But the prudent describes, or the prudent refers to people who are wise. And wise people, or prudent people, understand that life is connected. There are no unconnected dots in life. There are no isolated events. There are no isolated relationships. Everything is connected. And they understand this interesting equation that the present eventually becomes the past and shows up in the future. This is what wise people, this is what prudent people understand. That the present, what's going on right now, will eventually, in fact, will very soon be part of my past. And that the past is a way of showing up in our future. So prudent people or wise people connect the dots. They say things like this: in light of my future hopes and dreams, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing or what is the prudent thing to do right now? Because what I do right now will have impact on my future hopes and dreams. And here's what the text says: the prudent see danger. Now, this is so important. In fact, if you have already lost interest in this sermon because it's already too long for you, I need you to tune back in for just a minute and then you can tune me out. But this is so important. This is so important. This is not a Christian thing. This is just a human thing, okay? We see what we are looking for and we hear what we are listening for. This is true of you. I've never met you, but I know this is true of you. You see what you're looking for and you hear what you're listening for. The reason I know this is true of you, this is a cognitive thing. This is actually called confirmation bias. You may have studied this in school, or you may have just heard about this. Confirmation bias. Confirmation bias describes or refers to the tendency in all of us to look for information that confirms, confirmation bias, that confirms what we already believe. That if you're committed to something, if you like something, if you're enamored with something, if you've already sort of decided something, you are wide open to information that confirms what you already believe and what you have decided to do. At the same time, there is something in you and something in me that filters out any information or any facts that don't line up with what it is that we want to do or the thing or the direction that we've decided to move in. In other words, we don't look for the downside of things and we don't look for the downside of people once we've become enamored with the upside. You see what you're looking for. You hear what you're listening for. And this is what sets the prudent person or the wise person apart from the pack. This is the thing that shows extraordinary, extraordinary, extraordinary maturity. This is what most people miss. Because the prudent person is willing to acknowledge what they desperately don't want to see. The prudent person, the wise person, is willing to acknowledge, to admit, to listen to the very thing they don't want to hear. Very, very few people can pull this off. And once they hear what it is they don't want to hear, and once it is they're willing to open their eyes to what they don't want to see, they do something that most people refuse to do. They respond appropriately. The text says this: the prudent, when they see danger, take refuge. That is, when they see, even though it's the thing they didn't want to see, when they listen to the thing that they didn't necessarily want to hear, because they understand that life is connected, they do the appropriate thing. They take refuge. Now, the Hebrew term that's translated refuge here, it's a really interesting little term. It's used to describe a scout who's out ahead of an army. The scout sees danger, runs back to the general or the captain, explains what's ahead, and the army goes into a defensive position because that's the appropriate response to danger. It's also used to refer to a traveler. And back in the ancient times, it was so dangerous to travel. A traveler who realizes there's danger up ahead and they go to higher ground, or essentially they head for the hills. So what Solomon is saying is that the prudent person, the wise person, when they see and recognize danger, they head for the hills. They don't ignore what they see. They don't pretend like they didn't hear it. They respond appropriately. The prudent see, recognize danger, and they take refuge. And then there's a contrast. And Solomon introduces us to the other person in the verse. But the simple. Now, this is such an insult. The other term that's used in the text sometimes is the naive. In fact, there are translations that take this same Hebrew word in other passages in the Old Testament, and they use the word stupid. But the naive, we won't say stupid. We'll just go with simple and naive, which is something none of us want to admit to. which is something none of us want to embrace. No one aspires to this. You know, my goal in life is just to be simple, to be easily taken advantage of, to be easily sold things I don't really need to purchase, to be naive. He says, the prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple, the naive, the simple and the naive are the men and women who live as if, whether they believe it or not, we don't know, who live as if life is not connected, that events aren't connected, that the dots don't connect. The simple or the naive believe that the present becomes the past and it just stays there. That the present becomes the past and, well, that's in the past. That was yesterday. That was that other relationship. Oh, that's what I did then. That's what I did in that previous season of life. But now I'm going to college. There's no way that that's going to follow me to college. Now I'm moving to a different city. That was that city. This is this city. The naive and the simple don't understand that life is connected, or at least they don't acknowledge or live as if life is connected, that the dots connect. So they say things like, well, it's just going to work out. And when somebody tries to help them see what they need to see or get them to hear what they need to hear, well, nothing's going to happen. I'll be careful. I'll be the exception. Now, in the text, the implication is this. And I say implication because Solomon kind of leaves us to guess. And we don't know if he's saying it's this way or this way. But one of the implications of the text is he's saying, but the simple see the same danger. That is, the prudent see danger. Uh-oh. And they take refuge. The simple implication, they see perhaps the same danger. But it's so far down the road that, you know, I'm not even there yet. I mean, that's so later. I don't need to do anything now. Yeah, I acknowledge that, you know, maybe there's some problems, but that's tomorrow. And didn't Jesus say, don't worry about tomorrow? Are you trying to get me to worry about tomorrow? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. So I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Maybe that's the idea behind this verse. Or maybe what Solomon is saying is this, that the prudent see danger and take refuge, the simple, they just don't see it. I mean, they really genuinely don't see it because they aren't looking for what they don't want to see. They're not listening for what they don't want to hear because that is, all of us are inclined in that direction. Now, I bet you've had this experience. I've had it many times, again, because of what I do, but I bet you've had this experience. Have you ever tried to point out to someone danger? Have you ever sat down with a friend or a family member or maybe a neighbor or even somebody at work because they kind of opened up a little bit and you said something along the lines of, you know what, if you keep doing A, you can expect B. If you keep spending money that way, if you keep borrowing money that way, if you keep pursuing her like that, if you keep drinking that much, if you keep staying out, if you don't start studying, I mean, have you ever sat down with somebody in school or some environment and tried to help them see that if they continue on the path they're on, there is danger lurking around the corner? And it is so clear to you. In fact, it's not just you. You've sat down with two or three friends to try to talk somebody into something or somebody out of something. And the reason you did that is because you can see and they listen and they just walk away and they, you know, I just don't see it that way. I just don't see it that way. That's just not the way I see it. I've pointed danger out to people a lot of times and they went ahead and bought it anyway, leased it anyway, dated it anyway, in some cases married it anyway. And you sit back and go, why can't you see it? Well, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple and the naive, sometimes they really don't see it. And the text says the simple keep going. In other words, there's danger. They need to head for the hills, but they just keep going. They don't head for the hills. They don't change direction. They don't do anything about what it is they've been shown. The very thing in some cases that they see. And then by the time the simple see danger, sometimes it's too late. Now, I know this is, I'm supposed to encourage you today, but I just, you know, here's the reality of it. There is in every arena of life, whether it's money, relationship, marriage, dating, school, academics, you know, and professionally, in every area of life, there is a point of no return. Now, it's not a point of no forgiveness. That's a whole different subject. But there is a point of no return. There is a point that you have gone so far down the path that once you recognize, uh-oh, I should have listened, or uh-oh, I should have explored this, or uh-oh, I should have had my eyes wide open. There is a point where you can't go back and reverse the decision you've made, and you cannot escape the consequences. And you're all adults. You know this. But unfortunately, there are areas of life, because we're so stubborn, because we have filtered out all the information we don't want to hear, we filtered out all the things that we don't want to see. You can wake up one day financially, relationally, professionally, academically, and you've just gone too far. There's a point of no return. For some of you, perhaps have done some whitewater canoeing or kayaking or rafting. I have whitewater rafted and canoed. I just couldn't bring myself to get into a kayak. So I'll just acknowledge that in front of everybody. But if you've ever done any whitewater canoeing and you've been around kayaks and they're just amazing. And if you've ever done this, you know that on a really good river, especially in a state park or that's controlled by the state, as you go along, you'll come to very calm areas every once in a while, and there will be a cable stretched all the way across the river with signs hanging from the cable. You've seen this, right? If you've done this. And on the signs, it says, exit, it says different things. Exit river here, rapids ahead, or exit river here, scout rapids ahead. But it's a warning that there's something coming, and this is the time to get out of the river, walk down the path, and decide, do I really want to take this canoe or this kayak or this raft down this rapid, or do we want to take it out, walk around, and get back in the river? But the problem or the challenge is those signs are always hanging in areas of the river that are flat, calm. In other words, there's no reason in the moment to get out of the river. But if you ignore the sign and you're at the beginning or the headwaters of the rapid and you decide, you know what, I don't think I'm prepared for this, it is too late, baby. It is over. That's not the time to decide. You have passed the point of no return. And no matter how hard you pray, and no matter how you try to unintend, and no matter how you close your eyes, and you know what, it doesn't matter. You've gone past the point of no return. And here's the thing. Again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we're adults. You know this. This is true financially. It's true in your marriage. It's true in your dating relationships. It's true in every area of life. There's a time where you can get out. And there's a time when it's just too late. So the writer of Proverbs, the wisest man in the world, says the prudent see danger. And they do something when they see danger ahead. But the simple, the naive, they keep going, and the text says, and they pay the penalty. The version of the scripture that I memorized that I taught my kids says the simple keep going, and they suffer harm. And this isn't divine punishment. This is just cause and effect. This is simply the natural but avoidable consequences of decisions that could have been stopped, that could have been reversed. But because they wouldn't see, or because they couldn't see, they continued and they got themselves in trouble. Because the truth is, you know this, right? There are some situations that if left unattended, there are some arenas of life that if left unattended, they become so complicated that there aren't any good options. If you have 4 maxed out credit cards, a mortgage, and a couple of car payments, that is not the time to think about getting on a budget. You've passed that point, right? If you are 65 or older and you think, you know, I really need to start saving for retirement, I have some bad news. It's going to be really, really challenging. You will probably have to work until the very last day of your life, right? If you're going to eat and live indoors. Pregnant is not the time to reassess the relationship. And once you've stepped across that line that you told yourself you'd never step across, once you stepped across that line that friends had warned you about, once you stepped across that line and you're actually in an actual affair, that is not the time to start working on your marriage. The prudent see danger and they take refuge. They do something. But the simple, they just keep going. And by the time they realize, oh no, it's too late. And they suffer for it. Just real quick. Prudent people evaluate relationships based on where they are headed. Prudent people, wise people, always, always, always evaluate every relationship based on where the relationship is headed, because all relationships are headed somewhere. Your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, every relationship. And the prudent people understand this relation is moving in a direction. What direction is it moving in? How do I need to respond? Naive people evaluate relationships based on where they stand currently. Now, let me just kind of focus in on a group of you real quick, because I genuinely care. There's somebody listening or watching or in one of our churches that, in fact, I bet there's a whole bunch of you. And you have people who care about you. Maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe a brother or sister, maybe a nephew or a niece, maybe a group of people. And they are so concerned about a relationship you're currently in. And the reason they're concerned is not because of what's going on right now necessarily. What they're concerned about is where it's headed. And they keep saying this to you. But do you see where this is going to lead? Do you see where this is going to lead? And because you're living as if life is not connected, you keep telling them about what's going on right now in the relationship. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And they're saying, we're worried for you, not because of what's happening now, but because of where this relationship is going. Because prudent people understand that relationships move, they're dynamic. Naive people, simple people, say, no, I'm just going to evaluate this relationship on where it is currently. The prudent see danger and they do something. It's the simple that just keep going and ultimately suffer for it. One other. Prudent people, you know what? They view debt, financial debt, as a path with a destination. That's how wise people view debt. It's a path with a destination. It takes you somewhere. It has the potential to lead you somewhere. Naive people, simple people, they view debt as an event. This is just something I did today. This is just something I did today. This is just something I did today. So let's put it all together. The prudent see danger and they take refuge. The simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, everybody looking up here? Look up here. Bring me right over here. Look right here. Look up here. Look. This should scare the confirmation bias out of us. This should worry you. This should make you nervous, because you are not immune. And there is something next on the horizon of your life. And hopefully it's something you're looking forward to. But simply because you know what's next doesn't mean you're prepared for what's next. And one of the best ways you can prepare for what's next is to decide, I'm going to live as if life's connected. I'm going to live as if the present becomes the past that ultimately shows up in the future. And when I see what I don't want to see, and when I hear what I don't want to hear, I'm going to do something with what I see and with what I hear. If you choose to go this route, there are four words that are going to describe your experience. And then I'm going to give you this prayer. The four words are these. First, the word is action. You got to do something, not hope something, and not just pray something. In fact, once you see trouble, God's work is done. It is now up to you to respond appropriately. The second word is sacrifice. If you choose to live like a wise person or a prudent person, there's going to be a sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice potentially relationally. You may have to sacrifice part of your reputation, because people aren't going to understand why you live the way you live and why you do what you do. You may have to sacrifice some resources. The third word is embarrassment, because this will not make sense. So some of the people sacrifice some resources. The third word is embarrassment, because this will not make sense. So some of the people who are close to you. And the reason it won't make sense is you're not responding to what did, and you probably won't have an opportunity to explain yourself. And the fourth word is the word relief, because nobody regrets taking refuge. Nobody regrets responding to what they hear. Nobody has regrets when they respond to what they see. So when you see trouble coming, don't ignore it. Do something. Do something. Do something. So years ago, I memorized this verse. Taught it to our kids. Sandra memorized it, and we began praying it. So I'm just going to give you our prayer. It's an us prayer. And then I'm going to give you the you version. So if you are, if you're married or you're dating and you're praying together or want a prayer that you can pray together, you can use the us version. If you're not in a relationship and this isn't a we thing, I'm going to give you the you version. And it's just a pronoun change. So here's the prayer. This, and the grammar isn't great, but this is exactly how we've been praying this for over 25 years. Here's our prudent prayer. Heavenly Father, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here, and then give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Heavenly Father, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here. Help us to see trouble in our marriage. Help us to see trouble financially. Help us to see trouble professionally. Help us to see trouble with our kids. Help us to see trouble with our kids' friends. Help us to see, Father, in any area of life, we want our eyes to be wide open. We want our ears to be wide open. Heavenly Father, help us see trouble coming long before it gets here. And then give us the wisdom to know what to do about what we see. And then give us the courage to actually do it. Here's the personal version of the prayer. Heavenly Father, help me see trouble coming. Help me see trouble coming long before it gets here. And then give me the wisdom to know what to do and give me the courage to do it. Now, my friends, I just want you to know, God answers this prayer. God answers this prayer. In fact, for some of you, I can prove God answers this prayer because you haven't even prayed it yet. And you're nervous about praying it because you already know the answer to the prayer. How about that? You look at this and this is so threatening because there is something that you have tried your best not to see. And you're thinking, if I start praying this prayer, the thing I've tried not to see, the thing I've tried not to hear is going to be front and center. And then what am I going to do? And that is the question. God answers this prayer. In fact, for Sandra and I, there have been two or three sort of epic, set of circumstances in our life where it was a direct answer to prayer. And interestingly enough, the transition in our life, because this whole series is about transition, the transition in our life that led us to join a group to start this church, that led us to start this church, was a direct answer to this prayer. And there was a season of sacrifice, and there was a season of embarrassment. But day after day after day, we are so grateful. We are so relieved that God answered that prayer and that we had the courage to step out and do the very thing that we knew that God wanted us to do. So here we go. When you think about what's next, whether it's that job, that school, that opportunity, whatever it might be, when you think about what's next, are there any red flags? Are there any concerns? Any concerns about that roommate, about that new hire? Any concerns about the culture of that office? And you're so excited about the job and you're so excited about the money, but there's something about the culture and you've just tried not to bring that front and center. Anything that's gnawing at you in terms of your personal finances or something you're about to do or something you're being tempted to do or something someone has suggested that you do? Anything with your kids? Maybe your kids' friends? Any red flags? So between you and you, in other words, you don't have to tell anybody this. I'm not even asking you to confess it. You don't even have to say it out loud. But just in this moment, because I have your undivided attention, maybe your Heavenly Father has your undivided attention, just between you and you, is there something you're trying desperately not to see? Is there something that you're working hard not to hear? Because now is the time to take refuge. Now is the time to do something. Now is the time to break up. Now is the time to quit. Now is the time to let her go. Now is the time to change your number. Now is the time to cut up those cards. Maybe now is the time that you get yourself a counselor. Because now is better than later, and now will make later better. Is there anything you are trying desperately not to see? Anything you're trying desperately not to hear? The prudent see what there is to see. The prudent hear what needs to be heard. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going. And they pay the penalty. They suffer harm. So would you begin praying every day? It doesn't have to be my version of the prayer. It can be your version of the prayer. Would you begin to pray every day some version of this verse? Heavenly Father, help me see trouble. Help me see trouble coming long before it gets here. and give me the wisdom to know what to do and give me the courage to do it. Heavenly Father, help me see trouble coming long before it gets here, and then give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. And if you will begin to pray that prayer, and students, if you'll begin to pray that prayer, and for those of you in any transition, if you will begin to pray that prayer, God will answer that prayer and you will be better prepared for whatever is next. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on behalf of all of us, would you help us see trouble coming long before it gets here? And on behalf of all of us, would you give us the wisdom to know what to do? And on behalf of all of us, would you give us the courage to do it? And Heavenly Father, I would imagine that somebody in one of our churches today, somebody who's watching online today, it's as if I've been reading their mail. It's as if I've been listening to conversations and they're thinking, how does he know? And Heavenly Father, you and I know. I don't know. You know. Because this is common to all of us. So now that we know, and now that we've heard, and now that we've seen, would you give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week as we continue this series, Pack Your Bags.